Time for our regular motoring feature for a Saturday morning with Daily Maverick motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson, who takes the wheel until 9 o'clock, giving us the lowdown on some of the latest cars on the road. Makes me so happy. This week, Melinda has been cruising in the Volkswagen Amarok, which is a very powerful double cab bucky. Good morning to you, Melinda.
Hello. We were we all three in bed. I'm with Joe and Matt, and we're all dancing to the music. Well, kind of sort of beeping around to the music, maybe not standing on the bed.
Listen here, before we take that any further, I would just like to clarify, and I mean, listen, if you are in a polyamorous relationship, that's entirely up to you, but you're not. I'd like to clarify at this point that when you say all three of us are in bed, you mean your partner, Matt, the lovely Matt, and your dog, Joe. This isn't some sort of menage that's going on at 20 to 9 in the morning.
Oh, my word. Okay, I'm blushing. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. All right. We're talking the VW Amarok, right?
Mm.
Okay, so I know very little about it other than it arrived on our shores about 11 years ago. What else can you tell us historically about this bucky?
So VW decided they have to throw their kind of hat into the bucky market, or the pickup, as other people might call it, maybe in America. And so there was a lot of hype around this bucky, this pickup that they were going to launch. I mean, like 3, 4, 5 years before they actually managed to do it. And it was finally launched, as you said, early in January in 2010 in Argentina. And then I think it was very clever what they did. They landed up using the Amarok in the 2010 Dakar Rally, which was held in Argentina. And they had 45 Amaroks as support vehicles. They really made a splash with this very beastie kind of meaty pickup bucky. South Africa's done well, not as well as the Hilux and the Ford Ranger. It's never been able to kind of capture volume like those two, but sold about 36,000 in South Africa. And then the Amarok, the 190 kilowatts. And if you search Instagram and that, you often find hashtags with 190 kilowatts.
Right.
And that's because this is the most powerful bucky available in South Africa, or really around the planet, since the Mercedes-Benz X-Class has stopped production.
Why did that stop production, she says, taking it off-road?
It was a complete failure. It was a failure.
It was gorgeous. Was it a failure because it was so expensive and people just thought, no, it's going to...
Yeah, it was. I mean, when you had options put on that X-Class, it went well into over $1 million. And I just think people couldn't get their head around such a kind of gorgeous car being bashed around, bashed around off-road. And I think that it didn't make sense to people. And in South Africa, it really didn't sell well. There are still, you know, some on the road, obviously, but they're not selling any new ones.
Okay. God, I mean, I remember when you had that as a test drive car, and it was, I mean, it was gorgeous. Anyway, we're not talking about the now defunct X-Class. All right. So you've mentioned a couple of things that we would see in that class, the Ford Ranger and, of course, the best-selling Hilux. So how does it stand up then against those two? And is there anything else in that class that we might be able to link it to?
Yeah, I mean, you'd look at a Nissan Navara, maybe, you know, an Isuzu, which is much cheaper. So I've kind of looked at the top of the range Hilux, the top of the range Ranger, which is the Thunder, and then the Amarok, because those are really the competition. When you start looking at an Isuzu, mm-hmm. and you're looking at such a cheaper car, a Bucky, that you can't really compare, and much less powerful.
Okay, yeah. fair enough. Let's talk about the target market then, which is one of my favourite things to ask, because I'm always intrigued as to who these motoring manufacturers want and are expecting to buy. One of your motoring colleagues had this to say about the Amarok. This Amarok comes closest to being a car for everyone that I can think of. It's utterly classless, a car that makes sense pretty much everywhere. I mean, if VW are listening in, they're going to be loving that. Is he right, this person?
I actually tend to agree with him.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, because I was reminded as we were driving around, and I was at the Amarok, we'll talk probably later about that, but about the media challenge, the Spirit of Amarok, which I was on, an off-road challenge. But while we were driving it, I kind of kept thinking, this is like a Touareg or Touareg, or however one says that, except you've got the added addition of a load bay. And so it's got that comfortable, you know, really SUV feel. And I think, I mean, to be honest, a lot of the Buckys these days, the high-end Hilux, the high-end Ranger, they've all got this incredible SUV feel, but then you can load everything up on the back.
It's and kind so of like a dual functionality. It's right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think their target market, in a way, is a male, really, without sounding sexist.
Sure.
And I'm a big Bucky fan, but I think when I look at the people who are driving Buckys, male guys, and for this one, the Amarok, I think it's like also a bit like the GTI of Bucky.
Okay.
Because it's got 190 kilowatts, fastest Bucky, and I think people who love VWs and who kind of are in that Golf GTI mindset, and then they get a bit older and they start thinking, well, being a boy racer isn't going to last forever, but let me get into the Amarok and I'm still going to be like the fastest in town.
You know, what's interesting is that when I'm dropping my daughter off at creche, a lot of the dads are dropping off, and from my observations, it's dads who run their own businesses who need a utility vehicle, but they also need something for the kids to get, you know, eight kids and hockey sticks and bags and all that kind of thing. So this would be ideal for the dads at my daughter's creche, I think. So price tag aside, this, you would say that this is the every car for all people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because it's also really high off the ground, you feel really safe in it. And I can't emphasize how practical it is to have a vehicle where you can actually load things on, whether it's, you know, you're moving house and you need to have a few extra things, or as a business. And then it also then transforms into this pretty kind of luxury SUV inside where you are feeling comfortable. They're very easily two people comfortably sit at the back. I wouldn't really squeeze three adults into the back. I mean, it is. And the other thing I wanted to say, of all those three that I mentioned, the Hilux, the Ranger and the Amarok, it is still the largest of all of them, load bay and passenger seat-wise.
If you just tuned in this morning, this is Car Talk, where Melinda Ferguson, the Daily Maverick motoring journalist, comes to us every Saturday morning at this time to review for us whatever it is that she's been driving around in. And this week, it's the Volkswagen Amarok, a powerful, meaty double cab Bucky, described as the car that makes sense pretty much everywhere. Most Buckys, though, Mel, are bought for or built for function and not fashion. Mm. So how does this look? Is, even if you are somebody who needs to load scaffolding and various things in the back, but you're also image conscious, does it tick both of those boxes?
I mean, definitely. It's a very good looking Bucky. But as I kind of think that a lot of these Buckys have learnt from their market that they need to not just be an old workhorse bashing around on the farm, but actually be able to drive through to like Camps Bay or wherever you put your little one at nursery school, and to be like, oh wow, look, there's somebody. So it's become a status thing, and I definitely think the Amarok sits there right, you know, very close to the top, if not at the top. I have to add, though, the Ford Raptor, wow. I mean, if you want to make a statement, and I'm sure VW will hate me for this, but if you really want to make a statement and roll up to the, you know, to the creche in your Raptor, which is just enormous and really beastly and looks like it can, like, literally be a tank, you know, this is, I think that Buckys have become what maybe the Toyota Fortuna used to be for people. They've become more status-driven than they've ever been before.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, where did you take it out? That's what I'd like to know.
So I was invited as one of the 20 journalists in South Africa. It was quite a nudge. I mean, there were a lot of journos that were really upset that they didn't crack the nudge. And we were invited to take part in the Spirit of Amarok Media Off-Road Challenge, and which was near Bela Bela in Limpopo. So we flew to Joburg, drove up to Bela Bela, and then went 3 hours off-road into the middle of nowhere, where we were put through our paces by Sarel van der Merwe, who is the legend of off-road driving in South Africa. And he set us this very challenging course, and we were all in twos, and we drove our Amaroks. With most of the time we had off-road mode on, there's a diff lock setting. We did a lot of difficult stuff.
Tell me something. Obviously, that is what this car is built for. When you're dealing with a Bucky like this, does it then perform differently in the city? Is that something that you would even think about or not? This is where my lack of knowledge about cars becomes painfully clear.
Well, you're not going to put your diff lock on in the city.
No.
You're not going to put off-road mode. So when you don't put those functions on, or those off-road kind of aids, as they would call them, you know, you feel like you're driving in an SUV. Really comfortable, suspension really good, nothing rattly or like one what one might assume that a Bucky would do. But once you need to, and you put your off-road mode on, and you get everything sorted, and that's really easy as well. You don't have to, like, stop the car. You do it on the fly, as they say. That's the term.
The lingo.
You do it on the fly. Yeah, you put the off-road mode on, or you put your diff lock on, and suddenly a mountain of rocks and an incredibly steep incline becomes like it just seamlessly is able to actually handle that really off-road kind of tough terrain.
If you have got a motoring car related question for Melinda Ferguson or a comment, you can, of course, send a message into us on 0725671567 on the WhatsApp. If you'd like to give us a call, 021-446-0567. And of course, the SMS line is always there for you, 31567. Daily Maverick motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson with us for this week's Car Talk, reviewing for us the VW Amarok. Safety, obviously, a big consideration. Let's talk about the safety and safety ratings and safety features.
Okay, so I didn't know this, but when I was sort of interrogating, because obviously when you drive a car like this, you're going to interrogate it, I was a little bit shocked that there are only 4 airbags in the Amarok for the front, the passenger in the front, 2 for that person, and 1 and 2 for the driver. The people in the back do not have airbags. Now, that was a big oh no for me. I mean, I really was actually like wondering why did they not just put in the 7 like the Hilux have and the 7 like the Ranger have.
Why wouldn't they have done that?
I don't know. But, and this is a bit of news, sort of throw forward news. And next year, Ford has formed a partnership with VW, and next year the Amarok will be built at Ford South Africa's assembly plant in Silverton, which will go out internationally. They'll be making the brand new Amarok that will go worldwide, which is a big, big nod for South Africa, and it will share the 2021 Ford Ranger's platform. So this is very interesting because these two are competitors. Big competitors. And now they're forming friendship.
Interesting.
And I almost bet my puppy, I bet my puppy Joe, that they will have 7 airbags in the next generation Amarok. Because I just think at this stage, it's not, it doesn't look good on paper, nor for the passengers.
I'm going to assume that that's something that you didn't love about it. You've spoken about what you did love about it. I'm going to hazard a guess at the price in just a second. Just talk us through the different models.
Okay, and I must just add that there's a lot more other safety things. There's ESP, ESC, automatic post-collision braking. There's ABS. They've got a lot of other safety features, but not the airbags.
Yeah, yeah.
And the two different models, well, there are only two in the 190 kilowatt version. And there's a Highline, so that's a trim model.
Yeah.
The trim is called Highline. And then there's an Extreme. Highline has got lots of standard features like Vienna leather seats, there's seat heating, the Bi-Xenon headlights, rear park distance control, rear view camera, 18-inch alloys.
Okay.
The Extreme, which is a bit more expensive, has got all of what I've just said, but they've also got special edition Napa leather seats.
Mm.
They've got a sat-nav system. Which I think was a bit cheap, that they should have also put that
I can't believe that's not in the Highline.
The sat-nav should have been in the Highline.
Yeah.
And then there are 20-inch Talca alloy wheels in the Extreme.
All right. Bearing in mind that what you said earlier about the Mercedes X-Class, and we know that was over $1 million, I'm going to imagine that they would want to keep this at under $1 million. So I'm going to say that for the entry level, you're looking at 946,000 rand.
Well, you are really good this week.
Am I better than last week? Because last week it was a disaster. What
you
is
were
it?
A bit disastrous. And so it's for the Highline.
Yeah.
That 190 kilowatt 3 liter V6 double cab is 921,900.
All right.
So you were about 19 out.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the Extreme, which is the top of the range, 3 liter V6, 190 kilowatts, 996,000.
They just made it. All right. In 5 seconds, out of 10, how do you rate it?
I couldn't give it less than an 8.
Okay.
I have to.
My eights are
plentiful. But really, the Amarok is a fantastic bucky.
Just in 2 seconds, what car are we doing next week?
Well, it's the Ford EcoSport Black Edition.
Okay.
It's a new kid in town. The Ford EcoSport Black Edition. I'll be talking to you about that.
Okay. And done. Thank you, Melinda. We'll chat to you next week.